Thank you, Chris and Don. It's a great reminder of what just a little bit of faith can do, some amazing things, as we heard in the gospel reading. Today we're going to talk about fanning the flame. I just pray, oh Lord, that you... Lord, we just pray that you fill me with your Spirit, that the words that come out are the words that you need us all to hear, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this isn't where I was going to go at all. But after seeing the picture, last week, I talked about Sunday mornings at our house, right? Anybody remember that? Well, I had an interesting experience this morning. I had one that I've never had before. I've had stiff necks before, but never have I had one so bad that I could hardly get out of bed. So this morning, I don't know if that was quite that bad, but... I don't know that it was like that, but I tell you what, you know, it's interesting how I talked last week that the devil really wears on us on Sunday mornings. And boy, I tell you what, he certainly was working this morning in me. Because the first thing I thought of was, boy, if I didn't have responsibilities at church, I think I'd still be laying here in bed this morning. So, you know, God also has certain ways to give us that prod as well. But thankful that I can turn my head right now. So, fanning the flame. We're going to talk about that today, fanning the flame of the Lord in our lives. And we're going to talk about it by focusing on two different churches. Some of you are going to be real familiar with the two churches I'm going to talk about. One is the church in Jerusalem. The other one is the church in Antioch. Everybody familiar with those two churches and the big differences between the two churches? Everybody's real familiar with that? No, if not, we're going to talk about that today. You know, the church in Jerusalem, we're probably a little bit more familiar with because the Jews in Jerusalem were God's chosen people, right? The Jews were the people that Jesus, that our Heavenly Father brought Jesus down to. Jesus lived among the Jews. He did a lot of his ministry in the area around Jerusalem. At least if he wasn't in Jerusalem, he was within a day or two's walk of Jerusalem. He was in Jerusalem. In fact, he was crucified not that far from Jerusalem, right? Well, the church in Jerusalem did a lot of amazing things, a lot of really good things. However, after the Holy Spirit was brought down onto those Christians, and as we hear in the beginning of Acts, their focus waned a little bit. Now, these Jews in Jerusalem were doing some amazing things within their group. They reached out to Jews like fantastic. The Jews were all talking amongst each other. But if we think about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, did God want only the Jews to be saved? Oh, they missed the mark. So that's why, starting in Acts 11, we start to hear about the church in Antioch. In fact, isn't it amazing that before this, we'd never even heard that there was a church in Antioch? So starting in this area, we hear about Paul, the Apostle Paul, reaching out to other people. Now, the Jews also had to start reaching out. Now, maybe this isn't quite the way we expected the Jews to reach out. The reason the Jews started to reach out and go out to different areas was because there's a lot of persecution going on. Now, if you were afraid of dying in the place that you were in, would you perhaps consider moving to another area? Yeah, perhaps. Maybe it was safer for you and your family. You might want to go to a different area. However, these Jews then, as they moved out, these Jerusalem Jews, as they moved out, you know who they talked to? No. Other Jews. They were really good at talking to the other Jews that had also been transplanted. And so they kind of grew in their little holy huddles. Except now we hear about the church in Antioch. Now the church in Antioch, now this is one of the really neat things about having the Sunday morning Bible study, is we get to learn even more things. See, one of the questions that I didn't think was all that important, but that was raised, was, well, where is Antioch? Well, Chuck here quick pulls up his Palm Pilot and tells us exactly where it is. Up in the north, much farther north in the area of Turkey. Now, I think this is actually pretty interesting and important to know because this is quite a distance away. People could feel a little more safe and a little more comfortable sharing the Word of God. But now these Jews, and starting with the Apostle Paul, who also was a Roman citizen, now was able to share the Word of the Lord, not only with Jews, but also reached out to all those other folks. Now, this town of Antioch was the third largest Roman town. So this is a growing metropolis. As we heard in the Bible study, There was over 500,000 people in this town. The mission that was given by Jesus to the church is to reach out to a dying world, isn't it? We are to reach out to this dying world with the good news of salvation. The Jerusalem church, they did that with excellence and success locally. However, they didn't have that desire to reach out. But now we start hearing about this other church, the church in Antioch. The Holy Spirit worked through these people. The Jerusalem church didn't go out, didn't reach out. As a result, their influence waned. Their influence on the world waned. However, Antioch was raised up to replace them. Antioch was the church then that reached out. Their mission of Christ for the church was to fulfill the mission of God through its entirety. Through this church, God delivers us a clear promise. If we use our gifts, if we follow God's leading, He can use us to influence not only just our area of influence, but much larger areas as well. He can use whole communities. He can use whole towns to start a revival spreading through, not just Ypsilanti, not through just our neighborhoods, but through the entire country. The introduction of Christianity in Antioch was an important step in the forward march of the church. It was in Antioch that I find it really interesting that the first time that followers of Christ were now called Christians. People were now called Christians. It's in this background now that we come up and meet up with Paul. Paul wrote this book of Timothy while he was in a dungeon. He was imprisoned. He was in jail, and he didn't know if he was ever going to leave. In fact, as we listen to 2 Timothy, he pretty much is planning his death. He's getting ready to die, so he's imparting some of his last words of wisdom. In all this, though, Paul is displaying a marvelous courage, a marvelous conviction of his faith. He was certain in what he believed in. He didn't give in to sorrow. He didn't give in to despair. I mean, I don't know about you. Wouldn't you be pretty desperate, pretty frustrated, pretty full of sorrow and despair if you knew that, I mean, you just knew it, that you're going to die in this dungeon as a prisoner? Not Paul. He didn't give up on God's love for him. Even though it must have looked like God had forgotten him, he was in this prison, dark underground jail. Not a lot of fun for him. But then, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says in verse 6 of our text that we just heard, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands." That is just an amazing verse. We're going to talk about that quite a bit here. The reason that Paul relied on to encourage Timothy to fan into flame the gift of grace was Timothy's sincere faith. Now, here we hear those two words again, 2 weeks in a row. Remember last week hearing about sincere faith? God's telling us something, that we need to have this sincere faith. If we're hearing it 2 weeks in a row in two different gospel or two different lessons, sincere faith by nature is going to be concerned with the faith itself and all that goes with it. We want to have that true, sincere faith. This gift of God is a spiritual gift that God gave Timothy when Paul ordained him as a pastor. And he did this by the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is something that we consider pretty important here at Cross and Resurrection too, don't we? We lay on of hands to our confirmands. We pray over people with the laying on of hands. When we care for and concern, when we have concern with our fellow Christians, we lay on hands over them as well. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit that we take seriously here. It's a gift of God full of grace that we can do that. And it comes from God's undeserved love, doesn't it? God gives each believer a spiritual gift. He gives us all talents that we are to serve Him with. We talk about these when we listen to 1 Corinthians 12. And we've talked about this in the last couple months as well, that how God gives us these spiritual gifts. And I'm going to read that a little bit as well here. It says in verse 5, "There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines." As believers, we've been gifted to serve our God. We have been. Paul's point here is that we shouldn't be satisfied with with just having the sincere faith, should we? But we also need to use the gifts that he's given us so that we can use our faith, so that it can be active and burning as the flames in a fire. But if we don't feed that fire, what happens? Burns out, absolutely. You have all been gifted to serve our Lord our God. The picture of fanning into flame is the blowing up, the blowing on the fire. You know, I think all young men, probably all of us guys, have a certain amount of pyromania in us. I mean, you look at that and go, cool. No, I'm thinking most of the women are horrified. Am I wrong? Well, I also think here, I have a picture in my mind when we talk about fanning into flame. Our family loves going up north. We have a place that my in-laws have where we enjoy having a campfire on a regular basis. Now, my sons are in charge of the campfire. Now, a campfire on this piece of property is not like an Indian fire. We have white man fire. Big. Big fire. And we enjoy this fire. We enjoy watching the fire. But every night, we go to bed. Now we actually have a house we can go into. But the kids always stay out in the tents. And by the morning, the flames are gone. We didn't feed the fire. I love watching my kids, though. Usually after they get up around 10, 11 o'clock. It's on vacation. It's okay. And they go out to the fire. And they grab a piece of old cardboard or whatever they can find. And what do they start doing? Start fanning it. Start blowing into it. They might try to find some leaves to feed it. But they're fanning that flame. They're not leaving it unattended, because if they did, what would happen? That fire goes out. And here, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy in the same way. Fan that flame. It's an action. It's something that we do. It's an action that we are required to take. To fan into flame, the gift of God that was given to you, requires you to be personally concerned with your gifts. To make an active use of them. To make a determined effort to grow in your ability to use them. We heard Pastor Brian about a month and a half ago give us an encouragement to find out what our spiritual gifts are, right? Some of you have filled those out. Some of you have returned them. We still have them available. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? If so, are you using them to fan into flame the gifts? Are you feeding that fire? Now, some of you have turned them in. And when Pastor Brian comes back, he and I will start scheduling some appointments to talk about that, how you can use those spiritual gifts here at Cross and Resurrection. If you haven't talked to me, I still have lots of those spiritual gift analysis forms back in the office. I can give them to you. Fill those out. Know where your spiritual gifts are. Know how you can use those gifts to serve our Lord. We're all gifted in so many different ways. And some of us will find that we have some gifts that we never knew we had, some interests, some desires. And if you didn't know you had those gifts, how are you using them? How are you going to feed that fire? How are you going to fan it? As a child of God, when we live as one with spirit of power and love and of self-discipline, we're not going to be ashamed of our Christian faith. That's why Paul goes on and says here, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." That's in verses 8 and 9. Have you ever been ashamed to tell about your faith in Jesus? Have you ever been stopped because of your fears of sharing? I know I have. I think it happens to all of us, doesn't it? And here, God is saying, don't be ashamed. Here's Apostle Paul. Was he ashamed? He was so confident in what he believed that he continued so far as to get thrown into jail where he knew he was going to meet certain death. here Paul was confident up until the point that he knew he would do anything to share Jesus' love. Why do we act ashamed? Are we really ashamed? Why do we refuse to testify about Jesus? Why do we refuse to share our faith with others? Why is that? So now, here we hear Paul say, Timothy. He's talking to his young prodigy here. Timothy, feed this fire, Timothy. He hears talking to us, feed this flame. Because if you don't, it's going to go out. You're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do, and that's share His love with those outside of our walls. Share that love of Jesus with those that don't know Him yet. Share that love of Jesus. Feed that fire. Keep feeding that white hot flame of God's gift of unashamed courage to speak openly of Christ and even to suffer for the gospel. God gave us a gift. We hear there in verse 8 and 9 that we don't have to be ashamed. Join with Him in suffering because God has given us power. But the note falls on courage. Because in verse 8 we hear, therefore do not be ashamed. That's what courage is, isn't it? Not being ashamed. Having the strength to go forward. And specifically this unashamed courage is for what? Don't be ashamed to testify for me. Nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel. Don't be ashamed of speaking openly about Christ. And don't be ashamed of the shameful circumstance of those who do, like my imprisonment. Now the chances are that when we share our faith here in the community of Ypsilanti, we're not going to have the same suffering that the Apostle Paul had. You might have a hard conversation with somebody that says, why do you feel so strongly about something so stupid? Somebody will be confident in what they believe as well. But if you're building these relationships and sharing in the power that God gives you, you don't have to be ashamed. He is there walking beside you, giving that power. On the contrary, it says, share in the suffering for the gospel. Embrace this. God has given you the gift to burn with the courage to speak. Feed that flame. Feed that flame. So how does Paul mean for Timothy to feed this flame? Just like the Nike commercial, it tells him just to do it. Just do it. Does he show him how? I think so. The last phrase of verse 8 is, by the power of God. The flame of your unashamed courage to speak and suffer for Christ is sustained by the power of God. You are given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. If God is working through, you will have that power. You'll have that love, and you'll have that self-control. So the question is, how does Timothy go on feeding that flame with this power? It's God's power. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit working through him. What we do to experience the fullness of God's power is truly by the grace and the love of our Heavenly Father. It's also through the Word of God. As we heard in the last couple months, as we build a relationship looking up, we're going to grow closer to our Heavenly Father. We're going to grow closer in knowledge and knowing that He is walking beside us, that He is giving us that power. As we continue to do that, we're going to grow our relationships with our fellow Christians here at Cross and Resurrection and throughout our community circles. But as we do that, we're increasingly going to have the call that says, we need to go out. We need to reach out. We need to have that care for our fellow Christians. God has ordained us all to do a certain thing. He has already put into place how He wants people to come to Him. If He has called you to share His love with your neighbor and you haven't done that, how will those people hear the love of God? If He has called you to do that. If He has put certain people in your life that don't know the love of Jesus, how will they hear if it's not you? Today, a lot of people make fun of Christians. A lot of people will ridicule and laugh and scoff at you. But while they may not understand it, they even play an important role in the life of the church and in what God has already ordained. Unless we, the church, reach out, baptize, teach, and share His love, they're unlikely to fulfill their calling too. God has a place for them. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If we don't reach them, who's going to? They're ridiculing us. But if we accept that and go by the power of God, speaking with courage and faith, knowing that He is filling us with the Spirit, giving us the gifts and the power to share His love, then we can have that faith of Paul. We can have that courage to speak up. The courage, just like the Church of Antioch had, knowing that they had that sincere faith. So then, I think it's pretty simple that we need to know that we should have that conviction. We should have that courage, that faith to fan into flame, that gift of grace. How do we do that? We're going to learn that in the next couple of weeks. Pastor Brian's going to be back next week. He's going to start to give us some specific examples of how we can reach out, where we should reach out, what we should do. Take courage now. Be ready. Be prepared, knowing that the Holy Spirit is there, filling you with His gifts, to have that courage and that power to go out and share His love. Amen. Having that courage,